morning again. Our first lesson today is Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, and it's found on page 875 of your pew Bibles. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. The second lesson is also in the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 139, verse 1 through 3, and that is on page 974 of your pew Bible. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you. I'll be reading from Joshua 2, 9 through 11 on page 333, 333 of your pew Bible. And said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, page 1876. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Here ends the lesson. This is God's holy word. This morning I want to go back and finish up this week and next week a series that I started back in the fall, and we had stewardship month and we had Christmas, and that I did not get to finish. And I think the subject of faith is so important for us, especially in this time where we're in now the last stage of our pastoral search, and as we enter these last days, so critical that we really trust God and believe God for what he's going to do. And so today I want to talk to you about winning by faith, and it's illustrated in the life of Rahab, probably one of the less significant characters by our knowledge, and yet so significant to the plan of God. I open by discussing just a little bit of the four degrees of faith, four levels of faith that we can experience. There's faith that receives. It's demonstrated by an empty-handed beggar who comes to Jesus and accepts salvation. John 1:12 reminds us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So faith is that moment of salvation when we receive, recognize we're sinners, we need a Savior. We turn from our sins and turn to that Savior, Jesus Christ, and him alone, and trust him as our Savior. And we receive the salvation that he has provided for us when he died upon the cross and rose from the dead. Then there is faith that reckons. That counts. That's a faith that, as we grow in our faith, it's when we count on God to fulfill his promises. It's that progression of sanctification or spiritual growth, illustrated by what Paul said to 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. So we serve God, and we are reckoning him to keep his promises in our lives. Then thirdly, there is faith that risks. And that is illustrated by all of these great people in Hebrews 11, who moved out to dare something for God that's impossible. God placed them in impossible, humanly impossible situations, Instead of being overwhelmed and overcome by the situation, they trusted God and saw God do the miraculous, the impossible. Then there is faith that rests. This is the highest level, I think. It's in the midst of pain and the midst of suffering. This faith sits back in the confidence that God will deliver. Psalm 37, she read so well just a moment ago. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Let me give you three reminders this morning of encouragement. First of all, it's easy to be intimidated by the people in Hebrews 11 when we compare ourselves to them and see all that they did. It's easy to say, I could never measure up to that. But you recall that the Israelite spies, when they were on their way out of Egypt into the Promised Land, they got to the edge of the Jordan River, sent spies over to check out the land and the enemy, and they cowered like grasshoppers before the giants in Canaan. And their fear caused them to vote to turn back. God then sentenced them to 40 years in the wilderness. And so these giants of faith in Hebrews 11 may cause us to be discouraged when we look at our own weak faith. And we might be discouraged if we don't see things from the right perspective. So important to have proper perspective. It's difficult to identify with them when you consider that it includes a man who spends 120 years building a barge, a woman who conceives a child at the age of 90, a man whose outstretched hand is poised to sacrifice his only son, in which he waited 25 years to have that son, or an 80-year-old man who pioneers an exodus. And he pastors in a congregation of 2 million nomads. It's hard to compare ourselves to these kind of people. And we whimper like little puppies when we have to scratch for a scrap of faith to get through our little insignificant days sometimes. Don't be intimidated. Secondly, be encouraged. People are people, nothing more. God is God, nothing less. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thirdly, miracles are miracles, nothing else. And thirdly, as God used Rahab, a prostitute, he can use you and me to do great things for him. So let's look at her a little bit today to encourage us to serve him more faithfully and effectively. First of all, her background indicated her helplessness. Her background indicated her helplessness. She was an outcast. She was a prostitute, first of all, the lowest level of her society. Secondly, she was a Gentile. A Gentile, inclusively a Canaanite, named after those who lived in that land of Canaan. But more specifically, she was an Amorite. It was a part of a race that God had devoted to destruction because of their perversion and their rebellion against all morality and of God himself. So she was an outcast. But she was given an opportunity. Though she was an outcast, God placed her into the hall of faith, list her in chapter 11 of Hebrews with all the other great men and women who did great things for God. But she was placed there, not by her works, but by God's grace. She was not killed, it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 31, with those who were disobedient. These unbelievers that God's talking about there in Hebrews 11 were all of those people in the entire city of Jericho. a city filled with unbelievers. They didn't believe the word of God. But somehow, some way, they must have heard his word, perhaps as she did, as it explains to us in Joshua 2. And they also knew that God had given the land to Israel, but they weren't going to give it up. They weren't going to obey God. It says here that they were disobedient. The Greek is literally, they believed not. They believed not. For them to be disobedient means that they must have heard a commandment and they didn't obey it. They had heard what to do. They had heard what was right, but God says they were disobedient. They didn't believe, evidently, that the land was Israel's, and so God literally had to wipe them out and remove them because of their rebellion, standing in the way of God's plan for this world. Now, when you look at history and you look at the Amorites specifically, they were a debauched people. They tell us that these people were so perverse. They would build buildings and put live babies in jars, and then they placed them into the walls and built the walls over these little babies. They were involved in all kinds of orgies, all kinds of atrocities. So God, in order to protect his people, keep them from becoming like that nation, he punished them and wiped them out. And so her background indicates to us her helplessness. Secondly, her belief incited her hope. We see in chapters 2 and 6 the record of her belief. God spared her and the members of her family who were in her house. It says that she welcomed the spies with peace. It comes from the Greek word dekomai, which means to welcome with hospitality. Here is this pagan woman of a nation that hated God's people. And when these spies came to her house, she welcomed them with an unexpected hospitality. And so what had happened is Joshua had sent a couple of spies over across the river to check the land out, to check the terrain and check the strength of the enemy, search it out, and then come back and tell him, give him a report. They were on a reconnaissance mission. And they came, it tells us in Joshua 2, to her house. I want you to see and think about the providence of God. Out of all the houses, the hundreds of houses they could have gone to, they went to Rahab's house. Reminding us again that God Almighty is sovereign. God is in control of the events and circumstances of this world. And he guided these two spies to Rahab's house. God knew what was in her heart. God knew what was going on in her life. And God directed these two men to her house. And while they were there, somehow, the king of Jericho heard about it. We don't know how, God doesn't tell us, but somehow he heard about the fact that there were some men in the city. And so he sent some of his soldiers to capture them and bring them back to him. Well, Rahab found out about it and hid the spies and sent the soldiers on a wild goose chase someplace, saying they went this way, and they followed, and she provided for the spies' safe escape. Again, God's providence, God providing for his people. And when all of that happened, the men, upon leaving, they promised to honor her efforts by saving her when they assaulted the city. And she said this, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and a great fear has fallen on my people, so that everyone in this country, they're melting with fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. What you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted. And everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Understand this morning that things aren't always what they seem to be. We look at a situation, if we don't have the right perspective, and our faith is not directed in God, we will have the totally wrong perspective of what is happening. Years before, Israel had come across, and they feared the giants that were in the land, and they did not realize that the giants feared Israel. Many times as we face situations that God places us in, we're afraid. We're frightened because we don't have our faith in the right place and we have the wrong perspective. God took care of them. We should always fear God more than we fear the giants of this world. We should always fear God more than we fear our circumstances. You see, Rahab put her faith in the true God and believed his word. These spies said, "Here's a scarlet cord. Put this in the window of your house, and when we come to assault the city, we'll look for that cord, and you get your family, everybody into your house, and we'll spare everyone in the house. But if they're out there in the city, they'll be destroyed along with everyone else." She took courage because from a human standpoint, it was impossible for Israel to defeat Jericho. Jericho was too powerful. But she staked her life on the fact that God had said they would defeat them, and she wanted to be on God's side. It took courageous faith to hide the spies. She could have been killed for doing so, but she trusted the words of the spies. She believed they would keep their promise because she believed a sovereign God would make them keep their words, and she trusted Almighty God. So her background indicated her helplessness. Her belief incited hope in Almighty God. And lastly, her blessing involved a heritage. Her blessing involved a heritage. God honored her with salvation. First of all, of herself. Not because of her works, not because of the good things she did, but because of her faith. You and I are not saved because we're members of a good church, because of our denomination, because we're baptized, because of our different works. None of that. A person is saved when they understand they're a sinner. They realize they come under the judgment of God, but then they understand that Jesus Christ paid for their sins on the cross. They turn from what they're following. They turn from their sins and turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their only hope of salvation and eternity in heaven. And so we call that saving faith. She trusted God's word, and she was saved. We're saved when we trust Christ. And secondly, we see that God honored her with the salvation of her family. When the walls of the city collapsed, it tells us in chapter 6, Rahab's home, which sat upon the wall, remember the miracle that the Israelites surrounded the city or circled the city 13 times, and finally they shouted and the walls collapsed and the soldiers went in and annihilated the enemy. Well, when those walls collapsed, everything fell around but Rahab's home. Rahab's home was the only one standing, you read in Joshua 6. It remained intact. Coincidence? Just happened? Or was it a provident God? A sovereign God who is controlling and guiding the events of that day. Her untouched home, arising out of the debris of Jericho's raised walls, stood like a monument to her faith. Rahab's faith was phenomenal. It had a direct impact on the fate of her family. As her family believed her words, they gathered in her little house, and they were saved when the city was destroyed. Reminds us this morning that the quality of our faith has a direct impact upon the fate of our families. Well, our families aren't saved because we're saved. Our families aren't going to heaven because of our belief and trust in Jesus Christ, but our faith has an impact upon them. As we live and teach God's word and model our faith in Him, then we create an atmosphere whereby it's much more likely that they will believe and trust Jesus as their Savior. And God honored her with salvation, but He also included her in the messianic line. She became, as you read the scriptures, Matthew tells us in Matthew 1, she became the mother of Boaz, who became the husband of Ruth, the great-great-grandmother of David, who is, Jesus was a direct descendant in the line of David. Rahab the prostitute was in the messianic line along with Ruth the Moabite, not because of their goodness or their greatness, but because of God's grace. It's all about grace. So two things I encourage you to do this week. Number one, express your faith. Rahab identified her residence by letting down the scarlet cord from her window. And this spoke of safety through the blood. She heard how God had blessed His people and delivered them from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. She then believed that the blood could cause her and her whole family to be spared when the city fell. They were all safe because of the scarlet line hanging from her window. You and I are saved by trusting in the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Your vibrant faith, passed down to and accepted by your family, will save them as you teach and live it and model it before them. Express your faith with your life this week. Secondly, experience God's grace. Rahab experienced God's grace as she was lifted up from the life of a prostitute to a place in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Don't you know when she came and God saved her out of that terrible, terrible situation, she became a different woman. She married a man by the name of Salmon, who ultimately brought her into the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. What God did for Rahab, He can and will do for us. You may this morning have a checkered or a troubled past, just like her. God delivered her from destruction, but He also delivered her from her past. And so this morning, let's trust in Him to restore our worth in the eyes of others, because here's a God who specializes in helping imperfect people and rebuilding the walls of ruined reputations. And His providence works in our lives, especially as we think of where we are as a church, as we now really begin to focus on the calling of a new leader. God, His providence is at work. He's already gone ahead. He's been working these past months getting us ready for that new person that He's going to bring to this church. He's not lost control. He's not forgotten. He's been working things out and will continue to do that. Let us trust Him and follow Him. Bow your heads with me this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never really trusted Him, I encourage you this morning to take a moment, give Him your life. Turn from whatever you're trusting to get you to heaven and turn to Him. Trust His death upon the cross for your sins and His resurrection. There'll be, if you don't know exactly what to do, we'll have our prayer workers be available after the service in the back, and they'll pray with you. If you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, but you're going through a difficult time, realize His grace can work in you right now. Trust Him. Pray with someone today in the back after our services are over. Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for the faith of Rahab. May we emulate her and help us, Lord, that we might Lord, win by faith as we trust you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name.